From Hollywood, California and Chongqing, China, Autolite brings you Everything for the Boys, the command theater of the air starring Mr. Ronald Coleman and his guest for the night, Miss Ann Baxter, in a radio play by Arch Obler. Everything for the Boys is presented by the Electric Autolite Company and its 22 great manufacturing plants. Builders of precision equipment for 35 years. World famous for Autolite spark plugs, batteries, wire, cables, and electrical systems for automotive, aviation, and marine use. Your host, Mr. Ronald Coleman.
Thank you and good evening. Ladies and gentlemen, last night I met upon the stair a little man who wasn't there. He wasn't there again today. I wish the heck he'd go away. Well, I've no doubt that's old and familiar to most of you. But seriously, have you ever seen a ghost? Do you really know what it is to spend the night in the haunted room of an old haunted house? And having prepared yourself with a candle and the box of matches within easy reach on the side table, to wake up with a start in the middle of the night, knowing there is something in the room? And then, as you reach out your hand in the dark to feel for the matches, to have them handed to you. Well, anyway, tonight, you're going to hear the tale of a ghost going west. You may turn out your lights if you wish, but be sure and turn them on again for our chat with Chongqing later. May I say that last week, we had our first overseas breakdown since we've been on the air. Atmospheric conditions prevented our speaking with the boys at Reykjavik, Iceland. But 7 successful connections out of 8 isn't bad. And we're keeping our fingers crossed for success with Chongqing tonight. So we dedicate to men and women of the Allied Armed Forces in the Far East this global half hour.
First, a word about a bomber. From a base in Italy, the plane Marjorie Carling is taking off to bomb Hitler's Germany. Who is Marjorie Carling? Well, she's an inspector in the Autolite Aviation Products plant in Toledo, Ohio. She's typical of girls in war plants throughout the United States and Canada for helping turn out the equipment our boys need to win the war. This singular honor of having a plane named after her came as a pleasant surprise to Marjorie. A picture of her working at her bench on an automatic pilot device appeared in a local newspaper. Somehow, this paper found its way to a bomber base in Italy. Back came a letter. In part, this letter reads, "We guess this is highly irregular, writing to someone we don't know and never met, who doesn't know us, but here goes. The crew of our ship decided to pick out a nice, wholesome girl, one who's helping the war effort, as our pinup girl. If you wouldn't mind, we'd like to name our ship after you." The letter was signed by 6 sergeants, the crew of the bomber called Marjorie Carling. There's a greater significance to this story. The boys over there are grateful for what the girls over here are doing to help win the war. Marjorie Carling is a true example of the thousands of girls in the 22 Autolite plants in the United States and Canada doing a great job. Keep up the good work, all you Marjorie Carlings. And good luck to the Marjorie Carling somewhere over Germany.
I am a ghost. Now, now, don't get excited. I didn't wear a sheet and I wouldn't say boo to old ladies. And I've never rattled a chain in all my days and nights. And I do not like to haunt houses. What's it to do? I like to kiss pretty girls.
We bring you the story of The Ghost Goes West, a radio play written and directed by Arch Obler, based on the story by Uri Cowan and Robert Sherwood. The original musical score is by Gordon Jenkins. The players, Ronald Coleman and Ann Baxter.
Folks with bad sense call me the Glowry Ghost. But my real name was Murdoch Glowry. The reason I'm a ghost is that I made a wee mistake.
What do you mean? A wee mistake, you scamp?
That was my father. He's way up in heaven. I'm in limbo, which is halfway between heaven and earth.
It's all because of that wee mistake I made. The hated enemy of our family was the clan of McLagan. I was the last of the clan of Glowry. There was a fight, and I lost.
Tell them why you lost.
I didn't have me sword with me.
Tell them why you lost.
I was busy kissing a girl. As punishment, I am in limbo, never to be welcomed by my ancestors into heaven, doomed to haunt the dark halls of Glowry Castle until...
Tell them!
Until I find the McLagan, twist his nose and make him kneel before me.
And make him admit that one Glowry can thrash Hufty McLagan.
Yes, Father.
Oh, find him.
But, Father, I've been searching for 250 years.
Go on back to Glowry Castle and find him. And stay away from the Garrels.
Aye, Father.
You're not serious. Father, you're really not serious.
Well, certainly, Peg. Why shouldn't I be serious? I can afford it.
But a castle, a Scotch castle.
Picture my competitors, particularly a certain Mr. Biglow, when I come back home with a genuine antique castle, no less. Well, I'm a self-made man. Why shouldn't I... Uh-oh. Here comes the owner. What was his name? I can't remember.
Donald Glowry.
Oh, yeah. Hello there, Mr. Glowry. Well, here we are back again.
How do you do, Mr. Porgy? Miss Porgy, yeah. I was hoping you'd come back.
And here we are, already with an offer. Mr. Glowry, I'm willing to buy this castle of yours, lock, stock, and portcullis.
Buy it?
Oh, certainly. You're broke.
Father.
Well, it's true. When you run 500 chain stores the way I do, you got to face facts. Well, come on, speak up. 25,000 cash for Glowry Castle. Take it or leave it.
You're right. I am deeply in debt. I have no choice but to take it.
Oh, great, great. Now, one thing. Is this castle by any chance haunted?
Haunted?
Father means you have a family ghost.
Yes, Mrs. Porgy, she's back in New York. She'd never consent to a haunted castle. Well, how about a young man? Any ghosts or any such tommy rot?
I'm not sure. Why don't you and your daughter stay overnight and see for yourselves?
Is that midnight?
Yes, I think it is.
Well, I ought to be going in.
Oh, no, please. I mean, won't you stay out here and talk to me just a little while longer?
Why?
Well, you're very interesting.
Thank you, Mr. Glowry. But this hallway is drafty, and I am tired, so... So...
Good night.
Good night.
Miss Porgy.
Yes, Mr. Glowry?
I just want to say that... I hope you sleep well.
Thank you. Good night. I didn't know there was such shy man left in the world, Mr. Glowry. Yes? Yes, Mr. Glowry, what? Oh, Donald, you're in kilts. How in the world did you change over so fast?
I am not Donald. I am a ghost.
What did you say?
I am the famous ghost of Glowry Castle. Now, girl, you're supposed to be frightened.
You're crazy.
Only about one thing.
And what's that?
A bonny lassie with a wee bit button of a nose.
Well, no, I thought you were shy.
Shy? And what does that mean?
Asking riddles, Mr. Glowry?
Aye, that's a thought. Now, I've a riddle you must answer before I spell out the word killy cranky.
And if I don't?
You pay a forfeit.
Oh.
Here we go. What is the difference between a thistle in the heather and a kiss in the dark? K-I-L-L-I...
I give up.
Give up? You do?
Yes. What's the forfeit?
A kiss.
Oh? And what's the answer to the riddle?
Lassie, the forfeit always comes first.
Does it?
Aye. Oh, lass.
Murdoch!
Oh.
Murdoch, Lowry.
Oh, lass, did you hear that?
Hear what?
Murdoch, my son, find the McLagan. On your way.
Donald, what's the matter? Donald, where are you going? Donald! He ran away.
Good morning, Miss Porgy.
Well, how do you do, Donald? May I call you Donald?
Oh, yes, of course, Miss Porgy.
You are crazy.
Crazy?
But you look wonderful in kilts.
Kilts? When was I in kilts?
Last night.
Was he... you mean after you went to bed?
Donald Lowry, do you mean to stand there and tell me you don't remember about last night?
Oh, I remember everything. What happened?
You are strange. I never met anyone like you before.
I never met anyone like you either. I think I like Americans.
Do you? Then you won't mind going with us.
With you?
Yes, of course. You understood, didn't you, that Father was taking this castle back to America.
What?
Yes, he's going to take it all down, stone by stone, and put it up again in America.
But that's impossible.
You don't know Father.
I won't permit it.
$25,000, Donald.
But it's desecration.
I'll be living in it. Is that desecration, Donald?
But I don't want to go to America.
Even if I ask you to?
Well...
Even if I give you some more forfeits, Donald? A kiss?
I... Is it true it never rains in California? Father. Father, this is Murdoch. What is this strange place? Where am I?
Murdoch, my son. You're on board ship. On your way to America.
But I didn't want to go to America. I didn't want to become a confounded colonist.
You must go, my son. You must go where the old Glory Castle, which he dishonored. You must walk the castle halls, my son, even in America.
Oh, Father.
Donald, come sit by me. The deck steward moved our chairs and I... Donald, what is it? Donald, in kilts again. This wind, you'll have a cold by the time we dock tomorrow.
Yeah, lass. I think you're one I've seen before.
What? What did you say, Donald?
Would you know like to play a game?
Donald, are you seasick or something?
It's called a riddle and you must answer before I spell the word... Killy Cranky.
Oh, Donald, not now.
Dinner, call me Donald. I'm a ghost now. Come here, lad.
Donald, please,
come
it's not
here.
Funny anymore.
I beg your pardon. I'm the ship's photographer. Would you mind if I took a picture of both of you? That man, he disappeared. He disappeared into thin air. A ghost. There's a ghost on this ship. I saw him myself.
He was in the ballroom. On the boat deck. The captain's table. A ghost! Baggage! Don't forget to check your room baggage before you leave the ship.
I tell you, I won't have your blasted castle. Ghosts are something I don't want to have any part of.
All right, Mr. Porgy. Well,
ship it all back, every cussed stone, and you can go back with them. I won't give you 1 cent.
Oh, but I can't go back. There's Peggy.
You heard me. Back you go, right away.
Oh, Donald, I've been looking for you. New York. Isn't the skyline wonderful? Donald, it's a whole new world and a whole new life for you. Isn't it wonderful?
Wonderful.
Mr. Porgy, is it true you're sending the castle back?
Mr. Porgy, is it true you're afraid of ghosts?
Mr. Porgy, when did you first know?
Mr. Porgy, why are you sending it back?
Mr. Porgy, isn't it true the Bigelow chains are going to buy the castle?
Bigelow? What's that about Bigelow?
Well, I just saw the head man of the Bigelow chain, that young Scotchman, and it looked to me as if he was cutting you out.
Cutting me out? Nothing. Put this in your printing press. The Glowry Ghost is going to work for the Georgie Porgy Grocers exclusive.
The Congress of the United States of America has the duty to call attention of every American citizen to this outrage. To import a ghost into our progressive country. To allow spirits to pervade the free air of the United States.
Yes, Minerva Lawson. The fairest flowers of Scottish architecture are being uprooted from their native soil. Not only this, my noble lord, not only our castles, but also our ancestors are being shipped over to please the fancy of those who have no ancestors of their own.
Father, father, it's Murdoch. Dinna you hear me?
Aye, my son.
Father, I dinna like it here in the colonies. They put up the castle again. They say I'm good publicity.
Publicity? What's that?
I dinna ken. But they put up big signs all over the castle saying that the Glowry Ghost prepares to deal with the Georgie Porgy groceries. Oh, father, what'll I do?
Revenge, my son. I swear it. Be patient, and ye shall have your revenge.
Now then, Donald, are you sure you have it all right?
Oh, Mr. Podgy, I don't like this at all.
Now, please, Donald, if not for my sake, do it for Peggy. You see, she thinks you left town, so tonight at that dinner with all those reporters and Biglow there, if you appear in your skirts...
Kill, please.
Yeah, that's what I said, Kilt. You say a few words, and then you disappear. Why, that does it. Biglow will have to stop his lying campaign against me, saying there is no ghost. Oh, please, Donald, please. This isn't just me, Peggy's father, talking. It's the Georgie Porgy Grocery.
So I might as well go down and do my ghosting. Oh, Murder Glowry, wherever you are, for this masquerading I'm about to do, forgive me.
Oh, I
beg your pardon, I didn't.
Donald, what are you doing? You left. Oh, you can't be. You're the other Murdoch.
Oh, Lassie, aren't you afeard of me?
Why should I be? We've met before, remember?
Yes, Peggy, I remember.
That's the first time you called me by my name. It sounded almost like Donald.
Would you rather Donald was here?
He's gone. He won't be back.
Well, I think you're wrong, Peggy.
Why do you say that?
Well, because I know him. He's one of those stupid men who loves a girl and doesn't know how to tell her.
If he loved me, he wouldn't have gone away without talking to me.
If he were here, what would you say to him?
I'd say it for him. But I love him.
Oh, you'll be back, Peggy. I promise it.
When, Murdoch?
Later. Just a wee bit later. Goodbye. I've an important engagement below.
A fraud. That's what it is, a fraud.
Oh, Joe Biglow, you shut up.
And you put up. Where's the Georgie Porgy Glowry Ghost? Answer me that.
Now, wait. The ghost will be here. He does. Look. There he comes now.
Is it a ghost?
No, I'm no ghost.
It's Donald Glowry. Oh.
Donald, I thought you promised me that you...
Hurry, Mr. Porgy. I think the clan of Glowry's had just about enough.
Oh, Donald.
Ladies and gentlemen, please listen to me. As the ghost's only living descendant... I think I might as well tell you the farce is over. There'll be no phantom tonight.
I knew it. Georgie Porgy, you might as well take off that Glowry tartan costume you're wearing. By the time these reporters get through with you, you'll wish you'd never even seen Scotland.
Mr. Biglow, wait.
Well, what is it, young man?
That tartan you're wearing.
I have a right to it. I'm a real Scotchman. In fact, I belong to a better clan than you do.
But Biglow... There's no clan called Biglow.
Who said there was? This tartan belongs to the clan of my mother's ancestors, of which I am the last representative. It's the tartan of the distinguished clan of McLagan.
Did you say McLagan?
Aye, McLagan. And what of it?
What of it? Murdoch. Ancestor Murdoch, did you hear the man? He's from the clan McLagan.
What is this? What's this all about?
Oh, Murdoch, you've come.
It's the ghost!
Let go of me!
Murdoch! I've got him for you. Here he is.
Oh, let go of me!
Thank you, relative. Down on your knees, McLagan.
Oh, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. Ow! My nose. I stop twisting my nose.
I will. When you say that one Lowry can thrash 50 McLagan.
That's what you say, sir.
Say it. Repeat after me. One Lowry.
One Lowry.
Can thrash 50 McLagan.
Can thrash 50 McLagan.
Now, touch your nose to the floor.
No.
Father, father, look. He's doing it. Father, look.
Aye, my son. I see it. Come to heaven. All is forgiven.
Oh, Donald, I saw it all. Did it really happen?
Yes.
Now I understand. It was you I met on the stairs a little while ago. You who said you loved me but didn't know how to say it.
Yes, I know how to say it now.
You don't have to. Just tell me the answer to that riddle he asked. What is the difference between a thistle in the heather and a kiss in the dark?
I don't know. I really don't know. Why are you laughing? Hmm?
Then you lose. So please, give me the fork.
Oh, Peggy.
Oh, Donald, riddle me another riddle. Quick.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you, Ann Baxter, for being such a lovely Peggy. I hope you didn't mind my doubling in scotch. And now, Frank Martin.
In a moment, the shortwave circuit between Hollywood and Chungking will bring in the voices of two soldiers speaking to Mr. Coleman and Miss Baxter here in Hollywood. Meanwhile, a few words about the family automobile. 130 million Americans and 12 million Canadians have an interest in your car. It's an important unit in the national transportation system of our two countries, vital to all of us. Keep it rolling. In spite of its age, there are probably thousands of miles left in Old Faithful, and you can get these extra thousands of miles by taking extra care of your car. Among other things, this means having the battery checked regularly by experts, your local car dealer, your serviceman, or any one of the thousands of Autolite service stations. Have them replace worn battery cables with new Autolite cables. Keep the liquid level up. Be sure the battery is bolted tightly to the frame. Keep the connections clean. Have it recharged when necessary. If your battery cannot be brought up to full strength, replace it with a new Autolite battery. Autolite batteries are engineered for dependable power, long life. No wonder many leading automotive engineers specify Autolite batteries as original equipment in the cars they build. Remember, 142 million people are depending on your car, so keep it rolling. Remember, the name Autolite means precision manufacturing. Thomas Coleman, Chungking, China, is standing by.
That's fine. Now, Ann, we'll see if the dawn comes up like thunder out of China across the bay.
With a little less noise, I hope.
All right. Now, you put on these earphones. The Burma Road is temporarily closed, but we'll try another, a highway through the sky. Here we go. This is Ronald Coleman and Ann Baxter calling Chungking, China. Come in. Come in, Chungking.
Hiya, Hollywood.
Hello. Is that you, Chungking?
Yep, and this is Sergeant Bill Sauer.
Oh, that's fine, Bill. And is Sergeant Charles Blair at hand?
Yeah, Vinnie Blair is here, too.
Hello, Mr. Coleman.
This is Blair talking. Is Ann Baxter there?
Yes, and I think Vinny's a very pretty name, Sergeant.
Oh, Miss Baxter, you're pretty too.
Why, thank you.
Hello, Ann. I'm Bill.
Hello, Bill. How are you?
And he's cute too, Miss Baxter.
Well, listen, if I may intrude on this beauty contest, I have some messages for you fellows.
Do I have headphones, Mr. Coleman?
Well, first you, Bill. We talked to your mother in Toledo, Ohio. She made a request. Can you hear? She asked that you sing the song you used to sing at home. A few bars of Tonight We Love.
Oh, gosh.
Now, go ahead, Bill. This will make history. Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time in the record of man, an American sergeant in Chungking, China, will sing Tonight We Love to his mother in Toledo, Ohio, accompanied by Gordon Jenkins in Hollywood.
Well, since you put it that way.
Go ahead, Bill. We're all listening.
Okay, you asked me.
Wonderful, Bill. Wonderful. Oh, it's wonderful, Bill.
Bill, I suppose you know your mother is working as a Navy inspector of engineering material. Well, your sister has just taken up nurse's training.
I know about Mom, but that's swell news about Lucille.
It certainly is. You know, we all know the need for nurses grows larger every day, and we're all proud of Lucille for taking up nurse's training. And you, Vinnie, your mother, sister, and younger brothers are in good health. And your brother Ralph is with the Army in the Aleutians.
Great. With me in China and him up there, the brothers Blair will put on the old squeeze play and meet in Tokyo.
That's a date. The Blair brothers in Tokyo.
Vinny, you're a radio operator now, but weren't you a short order cook in Janesville, Wisconsin before the war?
Gosh, would you have to tell the world?
Well, just to recapture a little of the unrationed past, I thought I might order a meal from you. Anne, will you be the waitress?
Okay. What are you having, sir?
The scene is a gastronomic emporium, or if you will, a beanery. Waitress, I think I'll have two scrambled eggs on toast.
Adam and Eve on a raft, wreck 'em.
Okay, and I'm after her.
Well, if that's scrambled eggs, I'll just have some hash.
Close your eyes and sweep out the kitchen.
Or perhaps a glass of orange juice.
Hog one.
And a cup of coffee.
Draw one.
Blonde or brunette?
Blonde or brunette?
That means cow or no cow.
Oh, well, make it a blonde and put the cow on a raft and wreck it. Well, I must admit, as an amateur student of languages, this offers me a subject for further research. But seriously, fellas, I wish we had just the right words to tell you how we feel. Bridging oceans and continents just to chat with you out there.
Well, you can imagine how we feel. Everything from home is mighty important to us.
Yeah,
like the letters. You have no idea, Mr. Coleman.
Oh, yes, I have some idea, Bill. I know what all the boys say everywhere. Write letters. But be sure and send them V-mail so we can get more of them and get them all quickly, too. Tell us about home. About the family. The dogs. The girlfriend. Sure, and about Aunt Evelyn and Uncle Harry.
Just anything about home.
You see, we're interested. It happens to be what we're fighting for.
All right, well, that's all for now, men.
And boys, I'm so proud of you all, I could kiss every one of you.
Well, what's stopping you?
Okay, here goes. Did you get it?
Good night. And good night. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Best of luck, men.
And God bless you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the circuit between Hollywood and Chungking is broken. Just one word about another soldier who was many thousands of miles from home. He was lonely. And the more he saw and heard of the unfamiliar, the more he ached for just one known face, one friendly voice. Then he heard music and he heard laughter. And suddenly he felt back home because a woman came up to greet him and pointed out the serviceman's club with its lounge, a dance hall, a library. This American woman dressed in a Red Cross uniform showed him a home away from home. That's all. He wasn't lonely anymore.
Again next week, Autolite invites you to be present for this new global half hour, Everything for the Boys, uniting the home front with the battle fronts overseas. Your host, Lionel Coleman, will have as his guest, Miss Martha Scott, in a dramatization by Art Obler of the intriguing story, Girl of the Road. Our overseas conversation will be with two Canadian soldiers speaking from a base near Naples, Italy.
This is Ronald Coleman saying good night to you and the boys, and God be with you.
The Atlantic personnel does not constitute an endorsement.